One of the unsung heroes in the state during the pandemic has been New Yorkers with disabilities, according to my next guest, Maureen O'Brien, who's head of the New York State Industries for the Disabled, which works with agencies around the state to help find employment opportunities for people with disabilities. She joins us now to discuss the issue. Welcome to the show, Maureen.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what did you mean when you wrote in the Business Review about the people with disabilities serving as the state's sort of unsung heroes?
So this is the first time I can remember that individuals with disabilities in this type of an environment were considered essential workers. So NYSED does a lot of janitorial work. We employ just over 6,000 individuals with disabilities around the state. Our member agencies do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our member agencies have found a great niche in janitorial services and sanitation services. So during the pandemic, we have been working in the New York City subway system for the MTA, cleaning a number of stations. We do the cleaning at the testing site here in Albany, at SUNY Albany, for the Department of Health. We clean a number of state buildings and public hospitals as well, SUNY Stony Brook and SUNY Upstate Medical. So a lot of people are working. They're very pleased to be working, and they're really, really happy to be considered essential employees. They're very proud of the work that they're doing.
The population that you serve that has intellectual disabilities and they're still working in essential jobs, do they understand the risk that they may or may not be in when going to work every day, especially during the peak of the pandemic in New York?
Yeah, so nobody would be working on a job anywhere if they couldn't grasp what was at stake and were not working with a job coach on the appropriate training that they needed to keep themselves safe and protected on the job. One of the things that NYSED does through our contract work is there are managers and trainers that are part of the work that we do so that individuals with disabilities are safe, completing their job tasks, and working through the day. We serve all disabilities through NYSED, so the definition in New York State mirrors the federal definition. So it's anyone with a physical disability, anyone with a intellectual or developmental disability, anyone who's been through drug and alcohol rehab as well or is currently in drug and alcohol rehab. So those are all the different populations. We work with a number of different populations.
Can you talk a little bit about how one of your member agencies helped play a role in fabricating face shields?
We, here in the Albany area, worked with the Center for Disability Services Incubator to come up with a face shield design that was very different from other face shields used. There had been a shortage, as you know, during the pandemic here locally of PPE. Hospitals were struggling to find it, and we worked on a partnership with Center for Disability Services to fabricate a face shield that's been utilized by Albany Med. In addition, you know, one of the great things that happened there is after the story with Albany Med hit, GE had procured a number of supplies to assemble shields, but didn't have the manpower or the people to assemble the shields. So when they called Albany Med said, call NYSED. They have a fantastic access to a fantastic workforce that could do this for you. So we not only built our own, but then we assembled some where the kits were put together by GE, and then those were donated to Albany Med as well.
We're speaking with Maureen O'Brien of the New York State Industries for Disabled, and we'll be right back after a quick break.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
We're continuing our conversation with Maureen O'Brien, who's head of the New York State Industries for the Disabled. And before the break, we were talking about just how, you know, people with disabilities have stepped up to provide critical services, whether it's janitorial or helping make face shields. Now that we're sort of heading into some sort of normalcy again, are you finding that more of these agencies that you coordinate with are bringing people back online now that the risk of the virus is maybe less pervasive?
So it's a 50-50 mix. So in the disability services world, those who were essential employees have maneuvered their way through the pandemic quite well. Mm-hmm. Those who our members serve in group homes and other places have really struggled. And as a disability services organization, we have great concern about how some of those those things are unfolding, being able to visit your loved ones who live in a group home who are developmentally or intellectually disabled, them being able to get transportation to medical appointments and have the regular routine that they're used to. Those types of things have been upset significantly by the pandemic, and there's a good deal of suffering that individuals with disabilities are going through because of that.
How does the economic downturn affect your businesses traditionally, and are you expecting to see some sort of effect from the economic downturn we're in right now?
When the economy was booming and companies were having difficulty filling jobs, it was the most interaction the disability community had seen in a long time on seeking individuals with disabilities for employment. When there is a higher unemployment number, traditionally, we get left behind. We're working very hard to help ensure that that doesn't happen. The other place where we've had some pain and suffering, I guess I would say, is as a nonprofit and as our members are nonprofits, it's very important to get paid for the work that you do in the government sector. And there's been delays in payments because of budgetary issues. There's delays in payments because all the payment processes have changed with people working remotely. So we've been struggling with cash flow, as have many of the nonprofit providers around the state.
What sort of interactions have you had with the state about these payments? Has, for example, the Division of Budget told you already, you know, expect things to be late, or are you just getting late payments? Or
No. So no one has reached out to say to the nonprofit community, expect things to be late. You know, we deal with state agencies and a lot of New York City agencies. And so we go back to those program officers that we coordinate our projects with and work through with them the best way to handle it. You know, we're spending a lot more time on collections. I'm happy to say in some of the instances, we found that just because something has been moved offline or someone is working remotely, that seems to be some of the problem in getting timely payment. I do think we're going to see some changes probably to our contracts with the reductions that are happening. So the city budget has passed on paper in New York City, and it's, you know, significantly less than the budget that was in place last year.
And we're in July, which is a new quarter, and I'm curious whether you've had any issue, not just with payments being delayed on the state level, but also the state indicating it's not going to reauthorize contracts that might have expired at the end of June or might normally have been starting up again in July?
Yeah, so we don't have any that expired in June and at the state level right now. I haven't seen that. We've actually seen, from a janitorial standpoint, an increase in some of the services that we're providing because there's additional, under the Department of Health regulations, of how you have to clean for COVID. So we've seen some additional work done there. Some of the other things we do were not considered essential services, so they were suspended during this period of time. And then state agencies where people weren't going into work at all, we do the janitorial work at all the DMVs around the state, and that got suspended for a period of time.
If you guys do have to contract the amount of services you guys offer, well, the amount of opportunities essentially decreases due to lack of funding, what happens to the people who would normally rely on these for, you know, a daily job?
They're out of a job. So it's a very difficult and complicated formula. And I think one of the things that we can do better is to look at all of this as a whole pie. And we don't often do that. So individuals with disabilities need access to health care. They live in group homes. They need transportation, in many cases, to work. There's a whole host of services that are provided. And oftentimes what can happen in a crisis like this is one can be taken away and there's a cascade effect to how their life will be led moving forward. And I think we really need to think closely about when we take one of those pieces away, are we looking at the whole pie?
And are you hoping to get more investment in the future in these types of agencies, or have you had enough money in the past?
No, money is always tight in these types of agencies, and with the reductions in Medicaid reimbursement, it gets tighter and tighter. So some of our agencies that we work with are very proactive. I'll use the Center for Disability Services as a good example. They provide schooling, healthcare, group homes. They do everything under the sun, and they have figured out a formula where they operate some businesses that then help them pay for the healthcare portion. Because with the reduction in Medicaid reimbursement, those portions of their business are not sustainable. So one of the places where they do a mail fulfillment operation at the Center for Disability Services. We do that for a number of state agencies, do their mail fulfillment, and they're able to utilize some of the revenues from mail fulfillment to plug the hole that happens in the healthcare end.
In a perfect world where you had all the funding that you could ever imagine, how do you envision NICED sort of working? What do you envision as things that you have always had on maybe a wish list that aren't really practical at this point?
So I think there's a lot. You know, we had made a movement, put in place a lot of work with the private sector when the economy was really booming. So we were able to go to non-government entities and say, look, you can diversify your supply chain through NICED. You're having difficulty finding the right people to do the following jobs. Contract those with us. We'll have a job coach for the people that we send into the workforce, and we'll get the job done for you. With the contraction in the economy, I don't think that that's going to grow as fast as we want it to, although we have had a number of great partners here in the Capital Region that we're working with. Troy Innovation Garage has hired us to do some janitorial work for them. The United Way has as well. We're doing a number of different things with Albany Medical Center. So, you know, I'm hoping that that continues to move forward, but I don't think it's going to be at the rapid pace that we thought it was going to be at last year.
We've been speaking with New York State Industries for the Disabled President and CEO, Maureen O'Brien. Maureen, thank you so much for making the time.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And you've been listening to one of our Move to Include pieces, which will be running every Monday for the month of July right here on the Capitol Press Room. And for more information about the initiatives, as well as additional content, head to WCNY.org. My engineer in Syracuse is David White. My producer in the Capitol is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo, and this has been the Capitol Press Room.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.